is now time to hear God's word. And today we are reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 to 66. Matthew 26, verses 51 to 66. We are continuing with our series on the work of salvation, the redemption work that Jesus Christ did. And today our title is Unjust Arrest and Prosecution. Jesus Christ our Lord was unjustly arrested and prosecuted. That is what we are going to see this morning. Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 to 66. The Bible reads, "And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?' At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, 'Have you come out as against a robber? With swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.' Then all the disciples let him and fled. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered, and Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, 'This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.' And the high priest stood up and said, 'Have you no answer to make?'" "What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you, by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him." Amen. Last Sunday, we saw how our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. And we saw that he was betrayed by a man who was not stranger to him. He was betrayed by a man who was not an open enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a friend, and we see that in verse 50. Jesus Christ is calling him a friend, And we are told that he was one of the 12. He was one of Christ's disciples. And he ate with Christ at his table. So he was close to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he betrayed our Lord, not because Jesus Christ wronged him in any way, not because Jesus Christ sinned against him, not because Jesus Christ offended him in any way. He betrayed him so that God's plan of salvation may be accomplished. Judas meant evil. He was led by his own sinful desires, by his own covetousness, his own lusts. But God meant good in that betrayal. The purpose of God was the salvation of sinners. And this should teach us to always respect and accept God's providence. We should always respect and accept God's providence. Whatever God allows in our lives, whatever He permits in our lives, we should respect and accept. Why? Because He allows everything in our lives for our own good. After Judas betrayed our Lord, after he kissed him, our Lord Jesus Christ was arrested. And we see in verse 15, we are told, Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. The people Judas came with, those people who came with Jesus, with Judas Iscariot, they arrested our Lord Jesus Christ after Judas had kissed him, after Judas had betrayed him. We are told in verse 47 that Judas came with a great crowd. And they had swords and clubs. It was as if Christ had committed a serious crime. It was as if they were coming to arrest a terrorist. Jesus didn't deserve to be treated like that. He was a peaceful man. He had no sin. He had committed no crime. But he was treated like a common criminal. And he was treated like that for the sake of sinners, for the sake of his people. And that is why we must hate sin. Christ Jesus our Lord suffered for our sins. You know, my dear friend, we are the ones who deserve to be treated the way our Lord Jesus Christ was treated. And we deserve to be treated like that because we are lawbreakers. We sin again and again. We sin against God. We sin against human beings, against our fellow human beings. We sin against our governments and so on. We sin through and through. So we deserve to be treated the way our Lord Jesus Christ was treated. But he didn't deserve to be treated like that. So when they arrested Christ, our Lord didn't resist. Even if he had no sin, even if he had not committed any crime, Jesus Christ didn't resist. He offered himself willingly. And one of his disciples, and this is Peter, tried to stop the arrest of Jesus. He tried to stop the arrest of his master. He tried to defend him, but our Lord refused to be defended. He refused to resist that arrest. Let us read verses 51 and 52. It says here, "And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword.'" Here, the name of Peter is not mentioned, but when you read the parallel passage in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, you will find that it is Peter who did this. Peter took his sword and cut the ear of one of those who came to arrest Christ. He wanted to stop the arrest of our Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord told him not to do so. Jesus Christ took the ear and put it back to its place. It means Jesus healed that man. He touched the ear and healed him. Christ was determined to suffer and to save his people. But as human beings, we can sometimes not understand why our Lord didn't resist. Sometimes it can be difficult for us to understand why Christ didn't resist to be arrested. We can say that if he was innocent, why did he suffer such a shame and indignity without doing anything to stop it? Some people may even say that he was a weak man. He was timid. They may say that he was not brave, he was not courageous. That's why he allowed those people to arrest him, even if he had no sin, even if he had not committed any crime. And many people would instead admire what Peter did. And they would say that he was brave. They can compare Peter with Jesus. They would say, Peter was brave. He was courageous, but Jesus was not courageous. He was not brave. He was timid. That's how human beings are. They are proud. You know, there is a time we went to shop in Yusk boutique with my wife, but it's a long time, maybe 7 years, 8 years ago, here in Vibo. And there were many people in the shop. And after shopping, we came out. And suddenly, a woman came after us, following us. And she said that she lost something in the shop. And she suspected that we were the ones who took it, who stole it. And she said she wanted to search us. And we voluntarily allowed her to search us. We started taking our things out of our pockets, and whatever we had, we took everything out, and she found nothing and she went back. We were surprised. We said, there were so many people there, why only us? You know? And when we shared this news with our friends, they were very, very, you know, angry, if I can say that. Because they said, why did you allow her? If it was me, I wouldn't have allowed her. Because that was a kind of lack of respect. She didn't respect you. You know, that's how we are. And this shows how the heart of man is. The heart of man is proud and deceitful. It shows how we are blinded by our sin. And that is why we should not let ourselves to be led and guided by our hearts. We should be led and guided by God's word. Peter may seem to have acted bravely and wisely, but in reality, he acted foolishly. And that's why Christ rebuked him and corrected his error. Christ rebuked him and corrected the error of Peter because he acted foolishly. And why did Peter act foolishly? It is because he was not led and guided by God's word. That's why he acted foolishly. You know, our Lord told them several times that he had to go through all those things. He told them that he had to suffer in the hands of sinners. And he told them that is God's will. But it seems Peter didn't understand, or he didn't believe what our Lord Jesus told them all those years he was with them. It also seems that he didn't understand the purpose of Christ to suffer. He was led by his pride. He was led by his sinful heart. And my dear friend, if we let ourselves be led by and guided by our hearts, we will always be acting foolishly like Peter. So to avoid that, if we want to avoid to be acting foolishly like Peter, we must humbly be seeking to know and to do the will of God. We must always ask God to lead and guide us by His word. Let us therefore spend much of our time with God in prayer and in His word. We should always remember that even if men admire our zeal and applaud it, God will still condemn us if we transgress His word. God will still condemn us if we transgress His word. You know, with the example I have given you, with that woman who came to search us, if that day we were led by our pride, by our sinful hearts, and perhaps we started shouting at that woman, God would have condemned us. I know that many people would have praised us. They would have said, you did the correct thing. You are strong. You are courageous. You are not coward. But God would have condemned us for doing that. So let us always be led and guided by the word of God. You know, praise is only worthy if we walk according to God's word, if we walk according to God's will. And that is why Christ is worthy to be praised. He walked according to the will of his Father. He gave himself willingly, not because he was coward or timid, but because he had to do the will of his Father, and because he loves his people. He had to suffer for the sins of his people. If our Lord Jesus Christ wanted, he would have resisted. He would have offered resistance. He would have stopped the arrest. Let us read verse 53. It says, Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and He will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" When you read this verse, you will see that it is very, very clear that if our Lord Jesus Christ wanted to stop that arrest, He would have done it. He says in this verse that if He wanted to stop it, He would have asked His Father to send a host of angels to come and protect Him, to come and defend Him. You know, in those days, a legion consisted of 4,000 or 5,000 men. And Jesus Christ is saying He would have asked His Father to send more than 12 legions to come and protect Him, to come and defend Him. So 12 legions were about 48,000 or 60,000 men. Imagine. That means our Lord would have asked for a host of more than 48,000 angels to come and protect Him. And He had that right. If He wanted, He would have done it. And he wouldn't have sinned by asking that help from His Father. But He didn't, for the sake of His people and for the sake of the glory of His Father. So what God had already spoken about Him had to be accomplished. That is why Jesus Christ didn't ask that help. Let us read verse 54. It says, "But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" But how then scriptures should be fulfilled? What did scriptures say that had to be fulfilled? And here, Jesus Christ was referring to the Old Testament. What the Old Testament says. And they say that Christ had to suffer in the hands of sinners in order to save His people. So Christ had to submit to abuse. He had to accept to be treated like a common criminal so that scriptures could be fulfilled, so that His people could be saved. From this, we can see how much our salvation meant to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation meant a lot to Him. Our salvation is precious to Him. My dear friend, salvation is the most precious thing you can have. It is precious in the sight of Christ. It is precious in the sight of God. It should be also precious in our sight. Value your salvation if you are saved. Work it out with fear and trembling. If you are not saved this morning, I ask you to plead with God to save you. Ask God to save you. Seek salvation. Tell God that you are a sinner and you need a new heart. Put your trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and repent from your sins, and you will be saved. So we have seen that Jesus Christ rebuked Peter for trying to stop the arrest. And after rebuking Peter, and after correcting the error he committed, our Lord addressed those who came to arrest him. He spoke to them. And by addressing them, by speaking to them, he was doing them a favor. He was doing them a favor. I can say that he was evangelizing them. So when we read these verses here, we may not see that our Lord was evangelizing them. But when you examine them very closely, you will see that Jesus Christ was evangelizing these people who came to arrest him. He was exposing their guilt. He was exposing their sin. He was also showing them that he was the Messiah. He was the one who came to save sinners from their sins. Let us read verses 55 and verse 56. At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Our Lord begins with exposing their guilt. He begins with exposing their sin in his address. He told them, "Why have you come to arrest me with swords and clubs? Am I a robber? Am I a criminal? You know me very well. I sat with you in the temple. You saw me teaching. Did you see any sin or any wrongdoing in me? Did I break any law? You saw no sin in me. And perhaps that is why you allowed me to sit and teach you in the temple again and again. And perhaps that is why you didn't arrest me at that time, because you didn't see any sin in me. You therefore have no reason to treat me the way you are treating me." Can you see this? Our Lord was indirectly calling them to repentance. He was exposing their sin, their guilt, so that they can repent from them. He was also trying to show them that he was the Messiah, so that they could put their trust in him. What he was trying to tell them in verse 56 is this: what you are doing is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. It is written that the Messiah will have to suffer. I am made to suffer cruelly, and I am treated with shame and contempt, not only because you are wicked, but also because God decreed it, God ordained it. And God didn't only ordain it, he also revealed it. God revealed that his only son must suffer for the redemption of his people. He did that in the Old Testament. And you have your Old Testament. So I am the promised Messiah. Believe in me. That's what Jesus Christ was trying to tell them. And this truth, my dear friends, should strengthen our assurance. We should rest assured that we believe in the right Redeemer, the one who was promised. Christ was the fulfillment of scriptures. And those who have not yet trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ should humble themselves and believe. They should believe in him because he is the promised Messiah. And they should also see Christ's grace and mercy. You know, Christ took a moment to tell the people who were treating him with shame and contempt the good news of salvation. You know, Jesus Christ didn't say, "These people are treating me this way, let them perish." He didn't do that. What he did was to take some of his time and tell them, expose their sin, expose their guilt, and to show them that he was the promised Messiah, so that they can repent and believe. Christ was not obligated to tell them, and they didn't deserve to be told that message. But Christ had mercy upon them. He had mercy upon them. That's why he took some time to expose their guilt and to present himself to them as the promised Messiah. That message is also for you who is still lost in your sin. Christ is telling you that you are a sinner, and he is the promised Messiah. He is the promised Savior. Believe in him and be saved. So when Christ finished addressing those who arrested him, we are told in verse 56 that his disciples left him and fled. All of them, they left him and fled. They couldn't stand with him in that situation. And this shows us that our Lord had to bear the burden of our sins by himself. No one else could help him to bear that burden. No one else qualified to share the burden of our sins. Who could share the burden of sin? There's no one. Because everyone else had their own sins. The sins that were even heavier for them. So this should cause us to love our Savior even more. Because he bore the burden of our sins by himself, we should love him even more. We should glorify him every single day. Our Lord was then taken to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. Verse 57. It reads, "Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered." Christ was taken there to be prosecuted, to be questioned. And the scribes and the elders were gathered there. They were ready to prosecute our Lord Jesus Christ. They were ready to question him. And our Lord Jesus Christ was prosecuted not because they suspected him of any wrongdoing, not because he broke some laws. No, he was not prosecuted because of that. They prosecuted him because they were determined to get rid of him. They were looking for a reason. For a reason that they can use to get rid of him. So they were therefore gathered there not to render justice to Christ, but to persecute him, to get rid of him. They thought they were doing acceptable service to God, but in reality, they were not. They were deceiving themselves. So our Lord Jesus Christ came before Caiaphas and the entire council to be interrogated, to be questioned, to be prosecuted, even if he had committed no crime, even if he had committed no sin. Verse 59. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. You see? They brought him there to prosecute him, not because they were convinced that Christ had committed a crime, but because they wanted to please themselves. They wanted to get rid of Jesus Christ. Here in this verse, we are told that they are looking for false witnesses. The council was trying to find a pretext for eliminating our Lord, for getting rid of our Lord. They called many false witnesses, but they could not find any fault in him. Verse 60. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Even if many false witnesses came forward, they found no fault in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this shows us that our Lord was blameless. He had no sin, and that is why he qualified to be our Savior. He perfectly satisfied the demand of the law. When they asked him to answer to the accusations, he kept quiet. He kept quiet. Verse 62, we are told, the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. He remained silent. Christ didn't want to defend himself. He was ready to drink the bitter drink. And there was nothing to respond to. Their witnesses had already proven that he was innocent. Witnesses didn't agree. They were not consistent. And they contradicted each other. And all that proved that he was innocent. So what was Jesus going to answer? There was nothing to answer, because they already had the answer themselves. They had the answer themselves. The witnesses proved that our Lord Jesus Christ had no sin. But he also didn't want to answer because he didn't want to defend himself. He was prepared, he was determined to suffer for the sake of his people. That is what was now in his mind. We remember that when Jesus Christ was preaching the word, he used to defend his teachings. He defended his teachings. Sometimes he escaped when they tried to arrest him and hang him. He escaped. But now the time to suffer had come. There was no reason for him to defend himself anymore. He was now ready to go through that suffering so that he could save his people. But even if Jesus Christ had no sin, and the witnesses didn't come up with something, these people did not release our Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't release him. They tried to find something they can accuse him of. And we find here in verse 6:1, he said, "And said this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. So there were two witnesses who came and accused Jesus of saying that he was going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. And they used this as a pretext to get rid of Jesus Christ our Lord. Even if it was not true, Jesus didn't mean that he was going to destroy the temple in Jerusalem. What he meant was his own body, that he was going to die, and on the third day he was going to be resurrected. That's what he meant. But here, I don't know if they misunderstood him or they just chose to make it a problem so that they could get rid of Jesus Christ. So these people were malicious. They were wicked. They wanted to get rid of our Lord Jesus Christ at any cost. That's why they didn't release him, and they used this as a pretext. My dear friends, you can see how our Lord Jesus Christ was treated unjustly. He was arrested and prosecuted unjustly. Justice was not rendered to him. And all this so that the word of God, the scriptures, could be fulfilled. And all this so that sinners could be saved. I think we can see the love of God in this. We can see God's providence in this. He allowed all these things so that his plan of salvation can be accomplished. And that is why, my dear friends, we should love our God. We should love our Savior. He gave himself willingly for our sins. He suffered shame and contempt so that we can be saved. If you are saved today, it is because Jesus Christ went through all these things. And if you are to be saved today, you'll be saved because Christ went through all these things. Put your trust in him and repent from your sins, and you will be saved. Let us glorify our Lord Jesus Christ in everything we do. Let us value our salvation. It has been won at a very high price. Let us always remember that. Let us pray. Our dear Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this word, for this message. We thank you, Lord, for showing us how Jesus was treated unjustly. He was arrested and prosecuted. He was accused of all sorts of things that he had never done. All that so that we can be saved. Dear Father, we'll remain indebted to you forever. What you have done for us is even beyond our understanding. We do not deserve to be treated the way you have treated us, O Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the sacrifice that our dear Lord Jesus Christ made so that we can be reconciled with you. And we pray that, Father, as we meditate upon this truth, we pray that we will humble ourselves and love our Savior and value our salvation. Help us also, Lord, to not let ourselves be led by our hearts, by our pride, but help us to always seek to be led and guided by your Holy Word. We pray that, Father, you will bless the rest of this day. Help us to meditate upon your word, upon your love, upon your greatness the rest of this day, so that we may draw even closer to you. We pray this in the mighty name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.